Good to be here today. Good to have all of you with us. And let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into our lesson today. Father, help us. Give me wisdom. Give me the gift of teaching. Give them ears to hear and a heart of discernment. Most of all, a heart of discernment. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, I know, confess to you freely, that we've been wading out into the deep. But the more I learn of this, the more I marvel at how large this conspiracy is and that how much is going on that you hear nothing about. And so this morning I'm going to cover some things about a man that you all should have been taught in history about, the man who flew over the North Pole and South Pole. His name's Admiral Byrd. How many have ever? All right. And, of course, he's a hero. This is nothing to denigrate his memory at all, but we're going to talk about what he saw and was kept from telling the American public for so long until right before he died, Admiral Richard Byrd. But in any event, the president's been busy. The Democrats, even his own party, opposed the Obama-UN gun control treaty. It appears like Mr. Obama wants to slip in the back door and allow the United Nations to take the sovereignty of the gun owners away in this country. How many of you feel good about giving up your weapons to the UN? How many of you trust the UN? I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. Not a one of them. And yet they want control over your guns. They also want control over your courts. They want control over your lives. That's the vehicle that the Antichrist apparently is going to use to control the world. In any event, his own party, a number of Democrat senators in his own party have rebelled against him. And the reason they have, of course, is some of these senators are from places like Montana and western states where they hunt and they own guns and they vote. And these Democrat senators know that. And so Mr. Obama has tempted. But now, what does that tell you? What does that say? Analyze it. What's the bottom line? Instead of coming to the American people, instead of dealing in this nation through its constitution and through the system the way it ought to be, what does he do? He goes to the UN, and through the back door, the United Nations tries to come in and exercise sovereignty over this nation. That ought to scream into your ears about the way things get done if you don't do something about it. Now, last week we mentioned Ted Gunderson, a retired special agent with the FBI. I'm simply going to remind you what he says here. And then we'll get into this lesson this morning. Retired special agent with the FBI, Ted Gunderson. He was in Memphis, he was in Dallas, Texas, and he was in Los Angeles, California. Here's what he said. Based on my research, there's about 4 million plus practicing Satanists in America today, about 1.5% of the population. Of course, when somebody says today, what day? 85, 90, whatever that was. But in any event, about 4 million practicing Satanists. He said there's between 50 and 60,000 human sacrifices per year in this country. A lot of kids come up missing. You'd be amazed at how many come up missing. And then people that come up missing, never found again. The reason for the cover-up, because it could identify actors, professional baseball players, professional football players, politicians, etc. People in high places. The whole terrorist movement is a phony movement. There are good people in the FBI, police department, CIA, NSA, but there is a covert black operation that's active in this country, very active. The FBI has been infiltrated by the Illuminati. Now, these are the statements by Mr. Ted Gunderson, and this is what he stands for them. He stands to them. He doesn't equivocate. When he says something, he sticks with what he says. So is this man a raving lunatic, or is, since he has a privileged position of an inspector and privileged knowledge, then maybe what he says has some validity to it? Maybe so, reckon? I mean, an FBI is an investigator. So bottom line is, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, that is, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth personified. He said, I am the way, the truth. Not the truth about the truth. The truth about the truth is fine. But he is the truth. In other words, to receive him is to receive the truth. To reject him is to reject the truth. because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now watch carefully. And this is one of these things in the Bible that just literally you have to kind of look at it and think hard. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All right. So what does that mean? Well, that means that a great deception. The Bible says that in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. And the Scripture says that they will be deceiving. They will deceive and be deceived. That's what's going on. A deception on a grand scale. I read something last night. As I've been digging, I've been doing a lot of digging. One thing leads to another. Have you ever noticed how when you get on the trail, one thing leads to another? And when I started reading this, it's one of these things in your life, when you read it, you'll never forget it. All right, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget it because of the implications involved in it. First of all, it's the testimony of an honorable man. Admiral, he's an admiral. He's gone on now, but admiral. Byrd, Richard Byrd. Here's the man who flew over the North Pole and was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I read the statement attached to that, how that he risked his life and so forth. He flew over the South Pole. That's not all he did, though. After the war, he led an expedition to South America with over 4,000 troops and 8, 9, 10, 12 warships. And it was called Operation High Jump. Never heard of it. But when you find out about one thing, it leads to another thing. But let's get into it quickly because you're wondering what's going on. The man's an aviator. He's a pilot. And he leaves at 0600 hours. That's 6 o'clock in the morning for folks that, you know, if you're not familiar with the 24-hour clock. 0600 is 6 o'clock in the morning. He flies out and he's headed north. He gives updates as to his flight, to turbulence that he gets in the air. He drops his altitude, raises his altitude, standard procedures of any pilot. And he does this. And he talks about how he does it and continues to fly. He has constant radio checks with his base so they'll know where he is. They can keep up with him. And back in those days, they didn't have GPS and all of that stuff. So they flew by what's called dead reckoning a lot of times. And pilots know exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about dead reckoning. He continues to talk to them until he comes. He's flying over the ice. He's flying over the North Pole. And what do you expect to see? Nothing but ice. That's what you expect to see. One sheet of ice after another sheet, just solid white ice, snow, the North Pole. Until he sees a creature down below, which looks to him like a mammoth, and he drops his altitude to about 1,400 feet, and it is a mammoth. And this begins to really get his attention. He sees a mountain range, and at 10 o'clock in the morning, so now he's been in the air for 4 hours, he says he crosses over the small mountain range and still proceeding northward as best can be ascertained. Beyond the mountain range is what appears to be a valley with a small river or stream running through the center portion. There should be no green valley below, no green valley in the Arctic, no green valley. And something is definitely wrong and abnormal here, he says. We should be over ice and snow. To the port side, port is left, starboard is right. To the port side are great forests growing on the mountain slopes. Our navigation instruments are still spinning. And the reason they're spinning is because he's approaching magnetic north. And the magnetic pole, if you ever get around the magnetic pole, you forget your magnetic compass. It's not going to work because the magnetism is so intense and the movement is so great that it's no use to you. But in any event, he says his navigational instruments are spinning. The gyroscope is oscillating back and forth. Then he sees this beneath, and he says, at 1,400 feet, and I execute a sharp left turn to better examine the valley below. It is green with either moss or some type of tight-knit grass. The light here seems different. I cannot see the sun anymore. We make another left turn, and we spot what seems to be a large animal of some kind below. It appears to be an elephant. No, it looks more like a mammoth. This is incredible, he says, yet there it is. He decreases his altitude to 1,000 feet and he takes binoculars to better examine the animal. It is confirmed it is definitely a mammoth-like animal. Report this to base camp. At 10:30 hours, he encountered more rolling green hills. The external temperature indicator reads 74 degrees Fahrenheit. He's in the North Pole. Continuing on our heading now, navigation instruments seem normal now. I'm puzzled over their actions. Attempt to contact base camp. Radio is not functioning. And now what follows is one of the most incredible things I've ever read in my life. And let me put it in the context of this. When Satan showed the Lord Jesus Christ the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, he did just that. He has power. And there are things going on that there is absolutely no physical definition or logical reasoning to. But the existence of it cannot be denied. And this is what's happening here. In 11:30 hours, countryside below is more level and normal. If I may use that word, ahead we spot what seems to be a city. This is impossible. Aircraft seems light and oddly buoyant. The controls refuse to respond. My God, he says, off our port and starboard wings, a strange type of aircraft. They're closing rapidly alongside. They're disc-shaped and have a radiant quality to them. They are close enough now to see the markings on them. It is a type of swastika. This is fantastic. Where are we? What has happened? I tug at the controls again. They will not respond. We're caught in an invisible vice grip of some type. 11:35 hours, our radio crackles and a voice comes through in English with what appears to be a slight Nordic or Germanic accent. The message is, "Welcome, Admiral, to our domain. We shall land you in exactly 7 minutes. Relax, Admiral. You are in good hands. I note the engines of our plane have stopped running. The aircraft is under some strange control and is now turning itself. The controls are useless." In plainer words, he's been taken over completely. Now, up to this point, you're going to say to yourself, "Well, this is a madman." Or you may say to yourself, "I know the power of the devil. I know how he can deceive." And what follows, he is taken into a city by blonde-haired men who look like these Aryans that Hitler and the rest of them were talking about in Germany. And then he's finally taken to their leader. And when he's taken to their leader, he has a conversation with him. He's their master. And that master tells him that essentially that they've been observing us on top of the earth where we live for a long time, and that we have gotten to the point by killing each other, and they're talking about the atomic bomb that had just been recently dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You know those two. This happened in 1947, I think this happened. These bombs had just recently been dropped. They were dropped April the 3rd, 9th, 1945, somewhere in April. These bombs had just been dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they were saying that we are going to have to do something with the people who dwell on earth because you have gotten out of hand. All right. They tell Admiral Byrd that he's an honorable man, and he asks him, "Why am I here?" They said, "Because you're chosen to be here. You're a man that we can trust. We're going to tell you what's happening. We're going to tell you all of this." They tell him. They send him back. All right, he goes back apparently and reports this to the United States government, because remember, he is a military officer accountable to his chain of command. So he goes back and he tells his superiors. And apparently they tell him to hush this up. This stays hushed until right before he dies, this diary comes out. Because he says, "I cannot leave this world without letting humanity know what has happened. I cannot leave. I must tell them what happened." Now, before we go any further, let's ask ourselves some questions. Number one, did he write this diary? Is this Admiral Byrd's diary? Did he really write this? Number two, if he really did write this, and this is legitimate, this is his diary, then something obviously happened to this man when he was over the North Pole. Something happened. Something obviously happened to this man. Number three, regardless of whatever happened to this man, he's convinced something happened to him, so it's incumbent upon us, what did happen to him when he was over the North Pole? All right. If you press this thing a little further and do a little more studying into it, you'll find out that there's an awful lot of people out there that believe the earth is hollow, that it's not there's not a molten mass in it like they say. Now, If you're a Bible believer, you know this. You know that the heart of this earth, hell, is located. If you believe the Bible, all right? If you believe the Bible. And if you believe the Bible, the book of Revelation makes it very plain that the bottomless pit, which is hell, was opened, and out of that pit came these creatures upon the earth. They're coming out on the earth. They're coming out on the face of the earth. Now, that's a wild thing. This is why a lot of churches in this country, an awful lot of churches in this country, absolutely refuse to read or study the book of Revelation or preach from it, because it has some things in it that just literally blow your mind. And that's one of them. Talking about creatures coming up out of the bottomless pit, Apollyon and Abaddon and all of that. But if I'm a Bible believer, I believe it's real. All right. You can get off and you can get way out in left field with a hollow earth theory. All right. And you can get in deep into all of this stuff that I'm just going to present it to you this morning in the context of what we're studying, because we're studying a deceit that's coming on this earth of unbelievable proportions. A deceit. All right? A deceit. Now, we know that Adolf Hitler, when he was Chancellor of Germany, was deep into the occult. We know they didn't do anything unless they consulted their occult masters and prognosticators and what have you. And that the German high command, Himmler and men like that, even Himmler himself was far more into the occult than Hitler. And Hitler was head over heels into it. But Himmler was deep into it. These men were guided every moment of their life by an occult satanic power and spirit. Germany did definitely develop during World War II some of the highest technology on the earth. I saw this the other day on the History Channel, and I didn't know this. Nobody had ever told me this. But this is what the History Channel reported. That two German scientists in the 30s, these two German scientists had split the atom. Now, think hard on that. Think hard on that. And it was the German scientists, Werner von Braun, men like that, who got America into space. That's a fact, folks. That's a fact. No question about that. The only reason they didn't put them to death at Nuremberg with the trials was because they needed them. And so they needed their technology and what have you. Anyway, Germany apparently was way ahead of the rest of the world in some of this technology. Germany had a society called the Vril Society, V-R-I-L. How many's ever heard that term? Most people haven't, but a few of you have, all right? That's an occult society. But the premise of the Vril Society was this. They were able to tap into satanic power and apply it to physical things. See? They were able to tap into satanic, to occult power. They called it whatever force they called it. We know what it is. The power is either of God or the devil. But they tapped into it. And they were able to apply it to physical things. There are photographs of flying saucers the Germans made. I've seen them. But they're not flying saucers like you know, the classic example of them. But they are flying saucers. In other words, they are propelled by a propulsion system that was unknown by most of the world at that time. But in any event, the bottom line is that the Germans had tapped into the occult world and had begun to build this system based on what they were getting from the occult world. And that system was this. They believed that in the north, that there was an entrance into a hollow earth, and that spirit beings lived there that were vastly superior to us. And that these spirit beings were our forefathers. And that's what Hitler was trying to do, was to try to bring the race back, the Aryan race, back to its roots, back to what it should be. And this is why the root race theory is so important when you get into this stuff. You remember I told you about the root race? You remember which one I told you the Aryan was? There's seven of them. Five, exactly. Five. It's number five. It's the fifth. And this root race theory, the Theosophists taught it, Blavatsky in Russia taught it, All of this evolutionary, spiritual evolutionary that brings this super race, this super identity, these people believe that. The evolution, when you talk about biological evolution, all right, you're talking about what they teach at UT and all the major colleges in the world. They teach biological evolution. What is biological evolution? That's what Charles Darwin taught, right? All right, that's simple enough on the surface of it for people to relate to. Biological evolution. I don't believe it, but that's what they teach. All right. Then there is social evolution. All right. Political correctness is a product of social evolution. What's social evolution? Well, if biological evolution is true, then social evolution is where the masses and humanity and governments are able to learn how to live in peace and blah, blah, and so forth. In plain words, social evolution means that there must be a one world government for men to live. That's social evolution. See, that's not biological evolution. But the idea is that if evolution is true, they believe it is, then therefore that justifies the idea, well, men must live together. Then there is this esoteric, this spiritual, this stuff here we're talking about that Admiral Byrd saw. There is that type of evolution, and this gets into the mystical category of it, because this gets into that highbrow stuff about the spirit beings that are channelers and guides and are communicating with people. And the U.S. government would never tell you this, but they've had all kinds of experiments into this. And they've got labs, and they've got underground labs, and they're doing experimentation into this stuff. And all of this is going on right now, and people go off on the deep end when they get into it. And you've got to be awful careful with it, because you can get into this stuff and you can become possessed by these spirits. Because these are demons. And these demons are smart. Admiral Byrd saw something. I don't doubt that for a minute. But he did not see a civilization of advanced beings that had evolved to that point. What he saw was either an apparition or a physical manifestation of some spirit power that's demonic. That's what he saw. But it blows my mind to begin to realize how powerful it is. Well, I'm going to say to you this morning, I want to say it to you, and I want you to take it to heart. When the deception comes, if you're not a born-again believer, you'll be swept away with it. Amen. The deception will be greater than you ever imagined in your life. It is going to be profound as to what happens. When Ted Gunderson talked about, and I put it together, he talked about people in the high places are Satanist. What he's talking about, they're Illuminati. He's talking about spiritual power in high places that will bring about a one world government. And by doing that, they intend to rule the world. And they have the help of a whole, I don't know, what do you call it, a mass of demonic spirits who are able to perform all kinds of miracles, deceptive miracles, manifestations, and all of this stuff to help them to bring about that one world government. And the goal is so that they can put one man up and worship him as God, the Antichrist. Now, there is a mind behind all of it. There's a mind directing it, and that mind is the devil, Lucifer. He wants worship. He wants worship. He covets worship. He does. And money's nothing to him. And the souls of men. And power's nothing to him. He's got power. He covets worship. That's why he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "You fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world." He covets it. Now, I read something yesterday. You might find it hard to believe. And when I first read it, I thought, this gets in to high tech of high tech. How many of you have ever heard about all of the scientists that are dying? The scientists that have died. These are scientists that are working on classified stuff like electrical experiments, high-tech electricity, like microbiologists. Like, these are the men who are working for the government who can support it, or from colleges who have government grants, working in the highest echelons. These scientists, a lot of them are dying for unexplained reasons. They just die. They come up dead. They're working on some highly secret thing and they come up dead. And you think to yourself, well, what's that got to do with the New World Order? Well, when you find out what they're working on, it's got a lot to do with it. I'm going to take one case this morning. I'm not talking about demons, and I'm not talking about apparitions, and I'm not talking about manifestations. I'm talking about rock hard science. Okay? Microbiologists. Who are these people? These are the guys who sequence DNA. All right? Deoxyribonucleic acid, that DNA, which is the code structure of your body. They sequence it. What are they doing that for? They're trying to find out, and I'm going to read it for you. This is an amazing thing. The headline says this: microbiologist with link to race-based weapon turning up dead. What's that? Well, let's look closely. Two American scientists worked with were Benito K., 52, Don Wiley, 57. Both microbiologists had been engaged in DNA sequencing that could provide a genetic marker based on genetic profiling. The research, now watch carefully, the research could play an important role in developing weaponized pathogens to hit selected groups of humans, identifying them by race. You ever thought of such a thing as that? 2 years ago, both men were found dead in circumstances never fully explained. You remember how I told you that the elite are racist? You remember what I told you about that? Why would they be preachers? Root race theory. The seven successive evolutionary progression. The root race theory. Adolf Hitler was one of the most racist men that walked the face of the earth. He made it plain to everybody that blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Nordic-featured, like this killer up here in Norway, that just shot to death all those people, was the Aryan epitome of what a human being should be, and all the rest of the scum underneath aren't even fit to live. Now, I told you that Margaret Sanger, when she started Planned Parenthood, and folks, if you don't believe me, go check it out for yourself, was as racist as she could be to the core. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you'll go check the 50 million kids have been butchered in this country. 50 million. Is that right? Am I correct in that? 50 million abortions. Go find out what percentage of those babies are black. Go find out. Go find out how many Planned Parenthood clinics are located in large cities and out in the urban sprawling areas where there's a concentration of black people, and you'll be amazed at how many of these are black babies. They're controlling the population that way. Now we have microbiologists who can control the population through a pathogen that they can create in a lab that can target a person's race. You say, well, that's insane. Not really. Not really. Nobody knows to this day where AIDS came from. They don't know where AIDS came from. I heard it said 20 years ago it came from the green monkey. I'm sure many of you have heard that too, but nobody ever proved where it came from. There are many people out there who believe AIDS came from a laboratory. They believe that. I can't prove that one way or the other. But I do know that it has created chaos, and I do know that the New World Order will bring order out of chaos. I do know that, and I do know that they have a motive in everything that they do, and that they've already said time and again that the world's population must be reduced. They're going to reduce the population. And here's what they plan to have in this new world: the super rich and the herd. No middle class. Middle class will be gone. Last, if you get on Drudge right now, he may still be posted on his main page. Get on Drudge and you'll see where he says, black middle class eroding quickly. All right? Middle class. The middle class. Europe has the serfdom and it has the king. All right, that's been the system in Europe. America created a cultural system that's unlike anything else. They had super rich, always have, always will. They had the very poor, but they had the middle class. You see, they had the middle class, the buffer between the super rich who dictated over the very poor. The poor couldn't, they kept them uneducated, they kept them ignorant, they kept them poor, so they could use them and work them. Did you believe that you're doing that today? That's exactly what all these bailouts were about. That's exactly what this new world order intends to do. It's going to create a super rich class. At one time, Bill Gates was worth $90,000 million. That's a pile of money. Right now, he's fallen on hard times. He's down about $45 billion, I think, somewhere in there. At one time, that's an unbelievable amount of money. And how did he make that? He didn't make that over generations. When he created Microsoft, and he created Microsoft because he went to work for IBM. IBM wanted somebody to make an operating system for them. IBM was a computer manufacturer. Always has been. And, you know, way back before them, when you went to a grocery store to buy food, that cash register more than likely was IBM or Royal or something like that. So they wanted an operating system for their computer, their personal computer. So Bill Gates wrote the code for it. He was a computer programmer. That's all he was. And then he created Microsoft. He created Windows. He created an operating system that sat on top of DOS. And now, of course, DOS is gone and it's all Windows. And he monopolized the system. Every PC that came out had Windows on it. And so Bill Gates got a royalty from it. And he monopolized it. You know, they talk about the antitrust laws up there in Washington. They didn't work for him because every PC that was made had Windows on it until Linux came out. And then Mac, of course, has got a different system altogether, but it's a different computer. He became an intensely rich man by doing that. That's what's happening now. You'd believe the rich have lost their money? Let me ask you this question. When this deep, deep recession started in 2.5, 3 years ago, okay, do you believe any of that money disappeared that was around 3 years ago? Do you believe that money's still around that was around 3 years ago? Okay. It's still around, right? It's just not in your hands. All right? Who did that? Who allowed the housing industry to build? Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, pumping money in, letting people buy houses that didn't even have a job, had no way they could pay a mortgage payment like that, and house after house after house after house after house. They knew that this bubble was building, but it was a created prosperity. These houses weren't worth what they were piling all this money into them. The day would come when reality would set in. That's exactly what they wanted. It did. For what? To create a recession like we've been in, they're going to bring something out of that recession. These planners are going to do something with it. What's his face said to Bill Clinton, Evangelist Clinton, it was the one that's in there now. Obama, the one who became the mayor of Chicago, he said that you can't let a good crisis go to waste. Rahm Emanuel. All right? I'm talking about the elite. I'm talking about what they're going to use to bring about exactly what they intend to do. And so these scientists come up dead. Here's one at the end. It says, there have been persistent reports. The Institute is also engaged in DNA sequencing research. One former member of the Knesset, Didi Zucker, caused a storm in the Israeli parliament when he claimed that the Institute was trying to create an ethnic-specific weapon in which Arabs could be targeted by Israeli weapons. In World War I, they had biological warfare. You remember that? The gas and all that, the trenches. But now they've got to the point now with technology and with that they've learned enough now to where they apparently can create a weapon that By sequencing DNA. Now, it was about 10, 15 years ago, they charted the whole human genome. All right? Something like that. 10 years ago, I forget exactly how long it's been. They charted it. The whole human genome. The genetic structure of the human being. All right, they got it all laid out. Okay. This means they have a database built up that they can work from. And they know, and that if they can get to the point to where they can create a weapon that will wipe out certain races or certain people, then you talk about control over people, they've got control over you, like you wouldn't believe, to force into being what they intend to force into being. Now, when you look around yourself, and what I'm talking about, you know, I've talked about Bird and I've talked about this other stuff. You got to ask yourself the question, well, how long is it going to be then? I mean, they've got all this technology, they've got all this stuff going. How long is it going to be before they bring this together and they do it? They're already doing it. It's already happening. When you look outside, how many of you have noticed these little antennas that have a square box on top of them? That's ELF. That's an ELF antenna. You know what that's for? Ostensibly, it's for this. On the surface of it, that's what it's for. And it may be used, but that's not all it's for. It emits a microwave. Hitler scientists discovered. It's amazing the stuff that's come out of Germany, isn't it? Hitler's scientists discovered back in the 30s and the 40s that certain waves could control the behavior of people. They could control the behavior of people. Now, the radio spectrum is huge, folks. I mean, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, you tune in to a AM station and you're going from somewhere like 500 to 520 on up to what, 1600, 1700. Then you tune into an AM station, you get shortwave, you got shortwave radio receivers, you got waves, radio waves that are locked into a certain frequency like aircraft and the military and what have you. There's a huge spectrum of radio waves. They could have chosen out of that huge spectrum of radio waves, they had a huge selection of frequencies to choose for your cell phone. They could, you know, open, it's available. Because that frequency is not practical for a radio receiver like you listen to. So they could choose these frequencies. Guess what frequency they chose? It's a frequency that is right next to what's necessary to control a human being. Isn't that amazing? Now, you've already been warned time and again that these cell phones could cause damage. Overexposure to them, you know. They have what is that thing where you can look at a body and you can see a hot spot in it? It's some kind of a camera that shows thermal, infrared, something like that. They showed a woman or a man that had been listening on a cell phone, just took the phone away, then they showed a photograph of the same person 10 minutes later. Red all over the side there where this radiation had been emitted from this phones all over the head, and then 10-15 minutes later most of it was gone. Okay, now that's a fact. That's rock hard science. Okay, it is a fact that radio waves can affect human beings. They're working now. They are investigating. They're doing their work in these laboratories of just exactly how many of these things they need out there to control mass control of human beings. In other words, they can begin to send frequencies into your head and you wonder, why is it that I'm thirsty, or why would I like to have an ice cream, or what? You know, all of a sudden this desire hits you. It's because they're feeding this stuff into your brain. Now you say, well, now that's crazy, preacher. You know, that they wouldn't do that. The government wouldn't do that, would they? Yes, sir. That's another thing altogether. They've already proven that they've used that. Okay? Yeah. And that stone you're talking about down there in Georgia is a product of the Illuminati. Now, what I just led you into right before we close today is mind control and controlling of the masses, didn't I? That's what I laid the groundwork for. Are they going to be able to control you? Can they control the masses? Will they be able to control the way you think? They cannot. They can monitor where you're going. They can do that now. Will they be able to control where you go? Yes, sir. Appetite. It's based on a lot of research, isn't it? Really? And they find something that works. Okay, we're there. They've got the infrastructure. The infrastructure's out there. Now all they have to do is implement it. Yes, sir. The Masonic Lodge. Yeah, it's a Masonic home. It's, that's a front.
There's a lot of research going on in animal and human DNA.
You better believe it. Some wicked stuff's going on. Yeah. Back in the 30s. All right, we've run out of time. So we'll have a word of prayer and let you go. Next week we'll pick it up and type in Admiral Byrd. Do this on your own, okay? See if you can find out anything about if anybody has brought up any credible evidence to say that that was not his diary. I'd really like to know. Because if that's Admiral Byrd's diary, something heavy duty is going on, isn't it? You better believe it. You better believe it. Brother Valance, will you dismiss us?
Spirit in the world.